Oh boy, we are here. Finally, we can start this conversation this morning. I've got the beautiful and awesome and amazing Dr. Deirdre Charles in our company. Welcome. It's an honor to have you. It is an honor to have you.
Thank you. Thank
right.
You.
So let's get, I mean, the devil tried everything in his power to try not to get that conversation rolling. There must be something special about it. So let's get into the conversation. Let's get into the conversation right away. Let's talk about Deirdre upbringing. What were you? Take us back to before everybody knew this beautiful, successful being right there that most people might want to gravitate towards. Oh, we know, I know her. Oh, that's my friend. Let's take it back to where this all started. What were you like as a child? When did you grow up? What kind of household? What was mom like? What was, if mom was part of your upbringing? Take us back to that tender start.
All right. I want to start by saying that I was very miserable and very anafe.
Hey! I know these words.
So. But yeah, as a child, I'm very, very outgoing. Mm-hmm. Loved the socializing.
Right.
Loved people.
Aww.
Had 1,000,006 friends. I always used to remember my mother said, "You girl, you just have too many friends.
Oh,
you have too many friends." And I used to wonder what that meant, you know. But yes.
Aww.
So very outgoing, very involved. In all aspects of my educational life,
mm-hmm.
not only the academics, but all the co-curricular. So I went from a brownie to a guide to a ranger. I was involved in community engagement, community service. But what always stood out was my connection to people,
right,
and more particularly the youth.
Right.
I had this connection to people and young people in particular.
Right.
So I went through the regular Anglican school, SJC.
Can we just stop for a moment? Did it bother you at all when mom, because we grew up in this sort of era where we were taught, or we were, you know, our parents normally said, yeah, you don't go and sit on people's home and this sort of thing. So they sort of, you know, they pulled you away from that outgoingness, that you know, that passion. If you had, like you said, your personality was you liked being around people, and you know, for some of us, we took it in. We say, okay, it's not a good thing, because they made us feel like, okay, it's not a good thing to be so friendly or to be all up on people. And did it trouble you at any time when mom was saying that you have too much friends? And at any point did you battle with that?
Somewhere, not me. But the thing is, I think she recognized it was natural for me.
Right.
So I was allowed. I was allowed to explore. I was allowed to be with my friends. And I was allowed to invest and develop those friendships. So I cannot say that in any way prevented me or I was prevented. I was just warned. But I think I showed her the opposite of what the norm was at the time. Too many friends mean this confusion and stuff.
Too
many friends for me just meant more love.
I
think that followed me throughout my whole adulthood and my whole career as well.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. Any siblings in growing up?
Yes.
And were they very much alike you, or were you just different?
Yeah, I have a sister, mm-hmm. and she was the opposite to me. She was the introvert and I was. So I had this affair for her and myself. But she was the opposite. She would shy away from friends and, you know, not be involved in the dance troupe and in the other drama groups and stuff. I took all of that and did her part as well.
I know, right? Even step up sometimes to defend her. I could see that happening.
That's right.
Don't mess with her. That's my sister right there. She may get back, but I'm here. Don't mess with it.
I can see that happening.
This is beautiful. But what are some of the values back then that you would have you think that helped to mold you into the part that you've taken on today and you know, probably solidified and the position that you hold now? And we'll get to that in a while. But what are some of the things, the grounded values that you think that stayed, that you're grateful for?
I think for me, the things that really formed me and in you know, resonated,
mm-hmm.
and helped me, those values of standards, high standards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father was a police officer, and we were always told about standards and integrity and your word being your seal, true, and being on time and representing and being honest, mm-hmm, and these things, and being transparent, that's and right, being all inclusive. You know, right, all these things I saw. I not only heard about them, but I saw it growing, right, up with my parents. You know, the importance of being on time and sticking, mm-hmm, to your word, and representing and going all out to produce things of standard, no matter what it was.
Absolutely.
So those things for sure really helped. Those values really helped me along the way in my, you know, my development and my various episodes around the world.
Wonderful. You currently are locked off in education. Is it safe to say that?
I am.
Wonderful. So we're going to come back. We're going to take a word from our partners, and we're going to come back and talk about where you are right now. What are some of the things that you're effecting, some of the changes that you're making, some of the impacts that you're having that people may not be aware of, and, you know, what it means to you and where we go from there, maybe? You look quite young.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. Looks like there's some more years in there, so there should be other place to explore, maybe. We're getting back to that. I know I gotta get you laughing this morning. That's right. Let's smile a little bit. We started off on a rocky road already. We're gonna take a word from the Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need, our partner, and also Courts St. Lucia, bringing value home, and then we'll be right back.
I love my community. It teaches you the importance of being together even through difficult times. Business owners doing their best to make it through. Fishermen and farmers working hard to put food on our tables. Nurses caring for the sick shows me who we are made of. People who care. I guess it's about growing together.
Bank of St. Lucia is inspired by the strength of the communities in which we live and operate. We are happy to be part of these communities, and we will continue to serve you. Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
See the world and let the world see you with the best brands on eyewear from Quartz Optical. Come in today and get free eye exams, free blue block, and up to 20% off frame and lens purchases. Need sunglasses? With any purchase, get up to 80% off your sunglasses. Plus, with Ready Finance, you can shop today and pay $0 for 30 days. Visit us today at Quartz Marisol Complex, Blue Coral Mall in Castries, and Chitoli Building in Beanfield Via 4. Or call us at 457-8100 or visit us online at www.quartzoptical.com. Quartz Optical, value you can see. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so for those of you who are just joining us, this is She Speaks on Radio Caribbean International. A beautiful Tuesday. We've got the pleasure of having Dr. Deidre Charles in our company this morning. Dr. Charles holds a PhD in sociology from the University of the West Indies at Augustine campus with a focus on student services. And she also holds an MBA from Massey, is it?
Correct.
Massey University. University. And an MA from the University of Warwick. So definitely you've got this locked down right there. What is your position now, though, at St. Augustine campus?
I am at the University of the West Indies St. Augustine campus in Trinidad.
Right.
And I'm the Director of Student Services and Development.
What does that mean for some who might not know? I'm a little lost. Don't let me fool you. I'm a little lost. I'm asking for myself. So what does that mean? What does that entail? What is your role? What does that really mean?
Okay. I deal with everything that is outside of the academics.
Ah.
So apart from the degree,
right,
I look after the emotional health.
Wow.
Mental health.
That's huge.
Financial health, scholarships, bursaries, students with disabilities, wow, academic support, careers, placements, community engagement, orientation, and the list goes on and on. Students' activities, student leadership. Mm. So everything that is apart from classroom based.
Right.
I manage.
Well, that's interesting. That exists. It does exist, isn't it? Because that is important as well in that field. Because
it
it's not all just because you have students who might be there. Yes, they are trying to better themselves, but they may have so many other issues that they're dealing with. And it's great to know that they've got that level of support within the same fraternity as well. Now,
correct,
now that's interesting.
Correct.
I never did university, so I don't know what it entails. I'm going to share that this morning. So that is room. So, okay, tell me, let's walk through the journey. Did you always know that this is what you wanted to do within the system?
I think I always knew I wanted to do some aspect of counseling, mm-hmm. maybe even psychology.
Right.
I just didn't understand that's what the translation of that would be.
Right.
So I went to Trinidad and to the university, and there was this vacancy. It was actually in careers and development and career management. And I figured that, yes, that's a really nice area, especially because it was young people. It was an environment with young people.
And you had that passion from way back then.
There you go. So I started off there just for 2 years, though. And then I was promoted to director of all these other elements. And those other elements are so important to young people. Because if you do not have good accommodation, or if your psychological health is not the best, or if you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you have no scholarship, no finances, there is no way you can excel academically.
True.
Because, of course, you will be worried about those other elements which will hinder your progress throughout the system.
That is true.
So I took that challenge, and I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And for me, the main thing is getting young people and parents and society to understand that university education is a holistic one. It is not, I'm going to do a degree. That is just a small part of a higher education, right? So you leave to go to university, and one should expect you to come back fully matured holistically developed. So you don't only have the degree in psychology or accounting or become a doctor, but then spiritually, you're grounded. Mm-hmm. Socially, you could deal with your stories.
That's right.
Physically, you have matured. Wow. Emotionally. So for me, my focus is on getting the students to live totally different when they leave the university.
That is
amazing. With life skills, you know, as opposed to just a degree.
That's amazing.
A qualification.
that's not like that's a sad thing, you know. You see, sometimes you see it and it saddens you. It's like, okay, please go get your refund, because it really didn't make sense. You know, you have
the
degree, and all the other elements are so lacking that the degree seems like it's nothing to you, you know, like, yeah. That is amazing.
You cannot solve a problem. You cannot negotiate.
You can't, it really is just, it means nothing to you. You've got to spend money for nothing. Was that something that you initiated? Was that something that you realized, and you realized that it was needed, or that already existed and you fit into the role of it because you understood it?
It's a good question. Parts of the roles existed. Mm-hmm. So when I entered the St. Augustine campus, we did about 3 of the 8 things or 9 things that I do now.
Right.
And we did it in pockets.
Right.
Throughout my tenure of 18 years, we brought all these departments into one division. That's the division I manage. And we have a more cohesive approach to a student development.
Right.
So the programs are now designed to ensure that the students participate in those areas. So once they leave, they have life skills.
Right.
So I built on that, I expanded it, and I changed the narrative. The narrative became, I am coming for an education, lifelong learning, holistic development, and getting students to understand and appreciate that. Which means you don't only go to class to your studies, but you participate in other things that we offer. You go and do some community-based work.
Mm-hmm.
You engage in an interview with a CEO of a bank to understand what that process is.
Right.
You engage in volunteerism. So all these things help them build the other skills that are necessary once they leave.
Wow.
So I really expanded the role and changed the narrative of coming to the university for a degree.
But it sounds like something that could now be expanded to other universities throughout the world. Have you been looking into that? I saw something. Belize? Have you been influencing Belize to date?
Oh, Jenny? Belize.
Yeah.
But I want to say that all universities actually offer those services.
They do now? They do?
Yes, they do. I mean, it has always been in the other developed countries, mm-hmm. you have that service to students have always been there.
Okay.
At the St. Augustine campus and UWE on the whole mm-hmm. have all expanded over the years.
Okay.
So that philosophy of developing a student holistically mm-hmm. is worldwide and it's known. So we have embraced Wonderful. It and we continue to develop on it.
And since the expansion of it in the St. Augustine campus, have you been able to identify more growth and success and have you been mapping it? And
of course, indeed. We follow the students mm-hmm. and you always do some comparative analysis.
Right.
The students who actually participated in activities outside of the classroom and those who did. So what you will find is that employers will say to you, once you go to the university, we know you're bright. It is said to us, you have certain skills, we could train you. So now we want to know what else did you do. So they're not interested anymore in the type of degree, first class honors, second class honors.
Right.
They want to know what else you did while at university. So because that has been the change in the narrative for employers, mm-hmm. the students and parents are realizing, okay, we need to do more. So they're embracing that concept.
Right.
A lot more to expand their whole development in all the areas of self.
All right, take us to Belize now. What was the role you played with the Belize engagement?
Oh, in Belize. Mm-hmm. In Belize, I was a consultant. That university did a whole transformation, and I was part of the group of Ernst & Young. So mm-hmm. I was consulted with that group to look at the student services function and developed it.
Right.
So I gave the template for that development for that university.
Wonderful. Now let's take it back to home now. I mean, you're over there at St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. One might think, yeah, but how do you see you and what the skills that you've acquired and some of the things that you've done and implemented? Do you see yourself being able to sort of fit it back to the homeland, to St. Lucia, to make such a difference? And it, can you see yourself? Do you see yourself doing that?
Of course. I remain totally committed to St. Lucia and the development of St. Lucia Society.
Mm-hmm.
And this is done in two ways. I am definitely an advocate for all the St. Lucians that come to St. Augustine campus.
Right.
I love all my students. But of course, I will look out for any student, any St. Lucian student
by who's law,
to by
law.
And they reach out to me. They will be advised and looked after
and
be guided. In terms of our landscape in St. Lucian Higher Ed,
yes.
I'm always available to provide any type of support that is needed. For example, at Sir Arthur Lewis
yes.
Community College, there is that environment there where I lend my support. So if colleagues call, I have engage with colleagues before on projects where we have come down. I've actually made it every year, all of course post pre-COVID.
Right.
I come down, and that is my gift back to St. Lucia. I make a trip every summer to have a meeting with all students coming to UWE for the first time.
Wonderful.
So I fly in, mm-hmm. I go to Sir Arthur, and I meet them.
Right.
So we have a dialogue as to what to expect, what they should be doing,
mm-hmm.
and I school them in terms of what it is they should be doing and looking for once they come to St. Augustine. So that is one way I personally give back to the St. Lucian
That's
population.
That's beautiful and amazing.
And
That's
students.
Amazing.
But
looking in from your standpoint, do you see any loopholes, any areas in which that we could make improvements? Not your personal contribution, but like the what we now have existing as our education fraternity. Do you see areas in which we should be making some adjustments, or are you satisfied with where our education system is at as it stands?
I think there's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely always room for improvement. I have to say I'm saddened by our higher ed environment. I am saddened that the students who do CAPE and A-levels and the building that I once sat in
mm-hmm.
to be schooled for my CAPE and A-levels is now not available to students. I'm saddened to hear that they float around. There's not a specific building for the specific areas anymore. And I'm not quite sure how far developed we are in terms of the student services function. And whereas we have student affairs, which in our part of the world, there's a distinction. student affairs will deal with admissions and your exams and all of that. Mm-hmm. And whereas we may be a little further ahead there, mm-hmm. not perfect, but further ahead, I'm not quite sure how strong, how fully developed we are in the student services function. And I think that's definitely an area that could explode and grow, that would help our students better adjust and better and excel and be more successful holistically in our higher ed and environment, for sure.
Well, let's hope the policymakers, the ones who are listening, who are able to make a difference in that light, is actually hearing and their ears are open right now. Because definitely, like you said, education is definitely a key, and we need to ensure that is a priority to our people. You arm your people with education, and then you don't have to worry too much about what their needs would be in the future. And I don't know why most of our people seems to be lacking or falling short in understanding that when it comes to that. Let us take a word from our sponsors again, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the challenges you may have had along the way. Because, yes, everybody is seeing you right now and you're looking successful, and there must have been challenges along the way. And a lot of the times people see the success, they don't see the struggles to get to the success and how you may have overcome it, and how you can use that, your journey to inspire some of our listeners. Let's take a word from the Bank of St. Lucia and Courts, and we will be back shortly.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you and me, the St. Lucian way. We like family, always there for you, helping you. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every St. Lucian.
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
See the world and let the world see you with the best brands on eyewear from Quartz Optical. Come in today and get free eye exams, free blue block, and up to 20% off frame and lens purchases. Need sunglasses? With any purchase, get up to 80% off your sunglasses. Plus, with Ready Finance, you can shop today and pay $0 for 30 days. Visit us today at Quartz Marisol Complex, Blue Coral Mall in Castries, and Chitoli Building in Beanfield Via 4. Or call us at 457-8100 or visit us online at www.quartzoptical.com. Quartz Optical, value you can see. Terms and conditions apply.
And we are honored to be back. If you're just joining us, you miss our broadside of a really good conversation. But the good thing is you can always go back on our Facebook live feed and you can relieve the program. But got quite a number of people trending with us this morning. I'm happy about that. Barbara, good morning. Super Scop, good morning. You guys, thank you so much. We're going to shout out in a while. But let's get back now to some of the challenges, Dr. Deidre, you would have probably inquired along your way in all of your studies and all of that journey to get to where you are right now. Even now, where you sit, in the position you sit. I mean, you are now dealing with human and their issues. You may be faced with so many different emotional things coming across your way, and you now have to, you know, deal with that plus your own, and you have to go home and then have to worry about your family. And, you know, you must be so filled when the day comes. How do you manage?
How do you know that? How you
I know. I can see myself in school and coming in your office every day. I'm pulling out my hair, and I expect you to fix my problem because I will have a lot.
Yes. So it's twofold.
Right.
At the institutional level, mm-hmm. I will start there in terms of challenges. For me, at the institutional level, it's about getting the university as a whole to mm-hmm. understand the importance of the function, which is student services.
Right.
We are not a body of persons waiting if a student just needs a room. It's that's, you know, the narrative again needs to change. It's right. Understanding that this is core to any university. And if you look at any North American university, European university, at the core of their functioning is that student services component. Mm. Because there's the understanding by all professional organizations, NASPA, ACPA, for example, that say to you, unless you look after the well-being of these students, forget what happens in the classroom.
Truth.
They're not going to succeed.
Truth.
So for me, at the institutional level, is getting our senior management. Now we have it, but it's not where I feel it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to be at the decision-making table. We have to be making strategic movements in that direction. Sure. I cannot say that I'm not part of it. I am part of it. I sit at the table. I am part of making those decisions. But I think it needs to be a lot more inclusive and widespread. So that's that level.
Right.
Now, in terms of the one-on-one personal students to my division, listen, for me, it is the most rewarding, fulfilling aspect of my job. It's not about a salary. It's not about a name. It's not about the number. No. It's that interaction with these young people who come to you ever so green and inexperienced and sit with you and tell you what their dreams are and what their challenge is in realizing those dreams. And us as a division making it happen. We make it happen for the students. So sometimes you leave emotionally drained.
I know.
But you know you have done the right thing. So I'll give you an example. I had a student in Trinidad who was doing A-levels. Her mom died. So the mom left three girls and one boy. The eldest was doing A-levels. Mm-hmm. The mom died and left the four children with their stepdad. The child was very bright. So somebody, she's from the country, far south in Trinidad. Somebody said to her about me at the university. The teacher took the student and brought her to the university and said, listen, I have this student who's excellent. She wants to come and do engineering, but her mom has just passed. So there's no money in the family for it.
Oh, gosh.
I looked at the student and I said to her, get the grades. Get into engineering and we'll take care of you. At that point, I had no clue how you were going to provide housing, books, food. But I made that promise to that child. Now, to cut a long story short, she came, she made the grades.
Oh, God.
We gave her full housing for 3 years. And that is people reaching out to the university. She got scholarships. She graduated with first class honors in engineering. Wow. I have since looked after her sister. And now the last one is in law school. So then you impact not only one student, but a family, which in turn impacts a society. And then when in 5, 10, 15 years, you see a student walk up to you and say, you will not remember me.
Oh, gosh.
But the day you gave me a scholarship or the day you gave me this bit of advice,
yes,
I thank you. For me, that's all I need. That's all I need. And as long as they leave our offices understanding you have a dream, you can attain the dream, you have a plan, but develop self. It makes no sense. You have a first-class degree, but you cannot solve a problem.
That's
you
right.
cannot contribute in a meaningful way to society.
That's
so for me, that's the icing on the cake in terms of that. So yes, it takes a lot of emotion. It takes because the generations differ.
Yes, yes.
Right now, they cannot cope, their life skills, they can't cope with the slightest of challenges.
Truth.
Things you and I would dust off our shoulders years ago would cripple them.
That's right. Correct. That's right.
We cripple them, yes. So we try to empower them, to give them the life skills, to help them cope with what's happening. So for me, that's the best job ever.
Wonderful. Well, we have definitely come to a point where we've got to wrap up.
Okay.
It's like you said, the environment now is charged, and so many people are losing hope. Before we go, anything you want to leave with the listeners, help to inspire them a little bit? I think your whole conversation this morning is an inspiration, but anything you want to pointedly send out to any specific group or maybe just in general, just group it to the times that we are in right now to give them a little hope for me, please. Thanks.
Okay. So generally, I'd like to say both to parents and young people, parents, remember, when we are socializing and bringing up our children, we're not bringing them up for ourselves. We're preparing them for a world, and a world that could be very cruel. So ensure that you start building some serious life skills. And sometimes it requires some tough love. And young people, remember, when you come to the university or any higher ed institution, you are going to develop holistically. So once you step out, we see the difference in all spheres of your life. So you put those two together, we will have societies that are ready to take on challenges and really live fulfilling lives.
Wonderful. If not this, or when this is over and done with, what next? If you've got the privilege.
I don't know. It would definitely have to be something continuing with young people and maybe right in the in St. Lucia.
Absolutely.
Who knows, maybe in our higher ed education in St. Lucia.
Wonderful. Dr. Deidre, you've been awesome this morning, and what a beautiful conversation. You see why the devil didn't want this to happen? He knew that was going to be awesome and, you know, just organic. So he didn't win, and we won, and this was beautiful.
Yes.
Very,
yes,
very organic and needed. Thank you so very much for being our guest on She Speaks Today.
And thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Have a good one. You're awesome. So there you go, guys. Yes, wonderful. There you go, guys. Dr. Deidre Charles. And what a beautiful conversation.